podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys of Coppin Frackers.
The longest wait, a generation on and more, for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League.
Good evening, everyone. Actually, it could be morning, you know. No, I just noticed it because everyone might be listening in the morning tomorrow. So, yeah, good take anyway. But anyway, good evening. Good morning, everyone, wherever you are. This is a new episode of Coppin Frackers, brought to you by Touchline Frackers, of course. I'm joined by three lovely gentlemen. We're currently celebrating, smoking on the hot pack, smoking on the top five, you know, because United just held another loss in the Champions League to Young Boys. But, you know, we're here to talk about Liverpool. If you want to hear about Man United chat, you can go over to Mugga. Gets released every Tuesday. Scripto actually had an amazing foresight, I must add. He had a long rant about Aaron Wan-Bissaka today. And lo and behold, who fucked up the base for them? That Congolese brother. So, I'm joining today.
Sorry, let me just jump in there, man. I was having a back and forth a while ago, you know, maybe this time last year on Discord, flaming back and forth, you know, and I was like, Aaron Wan-Bissaka is not a great defender outside of being one-on-one. And shout out Elijah, man. He done his thing.
Yeah, man. We've got to start off with some disgusting, you know, being disgusting a bit, you know. We've been hearing about this guy being compared to Trent. God knows why. But yeah, man, here we are. Anyway, let me introduce you to everyone that's here today. I'm joined with Ellis. How are you?
Yes, brother. I'm all right, you know. I'm okay, fam. That pack. It's loud, potent. I'm high.
And you heard Marco before. You know, he's out on Discord, always handing out bows, been holding it down for us. Marco, how are you?
What's good, man? Different vibes, different settings. You know, I don't want to say too much, but we're looking good, man. We're purring still. Unfortunately, we'll get into the hard stuff, but it is what it is, man.
Man. Tough injury, boy. But I'm also joined by Peter. Peter, how are you? You've been back in the cut for a while and you haven't even said anything, even our ops. We're smoking on top five today.
Yeah, man. I'm moving in silence, man. Moving in silence. We're cooking. We're there. But yeah, man. Mine's good. How are you, Julian?
I'm all right, you know. I can't lie to you. I'm very tired. This coming back to work thing, being in the office is a madness. I can't lie. It's not for the faint-hearted. So yeah. Don't get into IT unless you're willing to sell your soul to the company that you work for. But moving away from work, we're here to talk about football. And over the weekend, we had a very, very, very nice result. Went to Leeds and picked up a 3-0 win. Salah, as always, fit and firing. Fabinho scoring, which is not something we always see all the time. And Mane, who will actually do a deep dive on today, getting on the score sheet as well. But I want to come to you first, Peter, because I remember when I saw the initial lineup and I had some words about a certain Guinean player, a prisoner of war, as some people were calling him last week. So, after seeing that lineup, how did you feel?
A prisoner of war? Oh, my God. But, hey, I'm not going to talk on that, personally. Hey, I'll leave that to you guys. But, so the lineup, obviously, we started with the same defence as Chelsea. So, Trent and Robbo, Van Dijk, Matip, and then we had Fabinho holding, and then we had Mr. Thiago Alcantara makes his first start of the season. Obviously, a lot of people were calling saying, where is he? Well, he's arrived, he's here, he's good, he's there. But And also, we have Harvey Elliott, who obviously he's made his third start of the season. That's the most of any of the midfielders. So, again, that showed how much Klopp actually trusted him to give him his third start being so young. And then Jota comes back in. Obviously, Firmino's injured with Salah and Mane. But, yeah, when I looked at the lineup, I was quite happy when I saw it because it was like, for me, I've been wanting to see Thiago start, Thiago come back into the team because I know what he can bring in terms of retaining the ball, progressing play, and also just helping our midfield. So I was quite happy to see him. And I think my thing with the midfield is that we was kind of having a back and forth, me and Julian, in the chat. And obviously Julian was saying that, like, why is Keita not starting? Why is Keita not there? And my thing is that, like, I'm not really looking at it as a disadvantage for any of the midfielders if they're not starting, because our midfield keeps rotating every game. So literally, Ox started a game, Keita started two, Elliot started three, Fabinho started two, Henderson started one, like, Henderson started two. So, like, again, all of these midfielders are getting a chance. All these midfielders are starting. I think we're going to have to get used to our midfield rotating quite a lot. Obviously, the last two or three seasons, we've been used to kind of like a same Fabinho, Gini, Henderson, Fabinho, Gini, Keita, Fabinho, Gini, plus one. You know what I'm saying? But this year, I think Liverpool fans, we're going to have to get used to a lot of rotating because, again, a lot of our midfielders are kind of not injury prone, but they get a lot of knocks. And so, yeah, I don't think that, apart from Fabinho, I don't think any of them will be able to play like 3-4 games in a row, like boom, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, just depending on the game, depending on how, what tools we need for that game. Yeah, I was happy with the midfield.
Yeah, man. I must say, though, after actually speaking to you when we was in the chat, obviously, I'm not going to mention in the chat because I'm a stubborn dickhead, but I actually did see where he was coming from. And I definitely, exactly what you said just now, we're going to see a lot of rotation in this midfield. And that's probably something a lot of us, especially over the last couple of years with Klopp, aren't used to. But I did still find it funny. I must admit, though, it is funny that, you know, Harvey Elliott, who's just turned 18, has more of a starting, more of a starting position than Naby Keita from what we've seen so far. So I'm gonna come over to you, Marco. How do you, like, obviously you can give your thoughts on the lineup as well, but how do you see that? Like, obviously it's unfortunate that Elliott got injured. Spoiler alert for everyone. But how do you see Klopp trusting Harvey Elliott over Keita seemingly over the start of the season?
It's funny that you come to me, someone that still has underlying Navcoin stocks, isn't it?
Yeah, man, I had to get the right guy. I had to get the right guy, man.
So, do you know what, yeah? I like it, innit? I like the fact that you have different arrows in your quiver, innit? And I remember chipping in to the conversation you and Peter had, and I was literally saying, I think it's better that we are rotating players and we are bringing in players for different aspects of the game. Just to go into the lineup quickly before I mention the Harvey Elliott and Naby trade-off, I was really happy with the lineup. I felt like he may have got it wrong. So I thought Klopp had it wrong with starting Thiago. And that's not because Thiago is not an amazing player. It's because Leeds are such a high intensity team. And I felt like he was going to have to cover so much ground that it would bode well for maybe a Henderson to start, someone that is going to offer that industry. But we'll get onto Thiago's performance later on. In terms of Harvey Elliott and Naby Keita, I feel like at this moment in time, Harvey Elliott offers a sort of incisiveness that we need in the team. And Naby Keita, as well as he's played in the first two games that he started this season, he hasn't got that level of chemistry, first of all, that Trent, Salah and Elliott have. Someone always, I can't remember who it was within the chat that said ballers, no ballers, and those three, ballers, no ballers, and it was Peter. And the way Demlo interchanged, the way Harvey's able to drop into Salah's areas to let Salah move inside or drop into Trent's areas to let Trent move inside. I remember even seeing Salah tracking back and he was at right back at one point because Trent was so far up the field and he was just chilling there. The chemistry that them three have is so unique that I personally wouldn't want to bring Naby Keita onto the left and disrupt the balance of the side. So if you have one side that's extremely incisive, with the way that we play football, one side needs to be a bit more balanced because the fullbacks are going to just bombard forward anyway. Yeah. So I like to have a midfield three of one DM, definitely Fabinho. One midfielder that plays not the genie role, but essentially the genie role, that's not going too far forward, but is able to cover space, recover the ball, pass at the right time, make the pass before the pass, as opposed to being extremely incisive and getting into the box. And then one midfielder that is going to be extremely incisive. And when we've offered Keita that license to go forward and be extremely incisive, he doesn't look as good as Elliot does, or Elliot has done for these past three games. And if you want to include preseason in it. So for me, you go with that balance and then you pick the ideal player for that balance. And at that time, it was Harvey Elliott, innit? Harvey Elliott, star boy. I've been waxing lyrical since, I believe, December 2019 when we had that Harvey and Ferb episode, or Harvey and Herb episode. I think he played in a Carabao Cup game and he was just amazing.
Yeah,
this is the one. Like, I was thinking, Jones is good, yeah, but Harvey, like, what he could do with the ball at this moment in time and his tactical IQ at this moment in time is nuts. Some people are saying he didn't even have a great game on, was it Sunday?
Saturday? Yeah. Sunday.
Sunday before he got injured. And to me, it didn't even look like he had a bad game for me. Like, he was picking up the balls in the right area. Even if he didn't perform to the level people would have expected of a player of Liverpool standard, I feel like he still put in a very solid performance. His energy was high. He was beating his man whenever he needed to beat his man. There's an opportunity where he got into the box and he had two strikes at goal, one on his left foot, one on his right foot. We don't normally see Liverpool players do that. On top of that, you don't really get to see many 18-year-olds with that confidence, with that license to go forward. So I feel like he's been playing extremely well, and you don't take someone out of the side that has that chemistry and is playing extremely well for somebody that is hit and miss. And as much as I love Naby, he is hit and miss. You don't know what you're going to get from Naby Keita. But unfortunately, he's injured at the moment. He, Elliot, offers some sort of consistency going forward in terms of when you put him on the pitch, you know he's going to give it his all, and you know he's still going to have that chemistry with Salah and Trent, even if he's not playing that well. And that up chemistry with Salah and Trent allows Salah and Trent to play well, if you know what I mean. So the fact that he's able to, somewhat similar to Genie, sacrifice some of his game if he's not playing well to let others play well is what Klopp likes in the team. And that's the type of player that Klopp loves. Give him 100% and be able to contribute to the team even when you're not playing well in it. So that's my take on it.
You've made a lot of good points there. I definitely feel like that, you know, the critique on Harvey Elliott's performance, especially against Leeds, was a bit much. If there was some critique, I didn't really see a lot. But again, you said that a lot of people said that he didn't play well. But in this Liverpool midfield,
someone in the chat, I need to do the chat and like read up properly. But I think it was someone in the chat that said he didn't have a magnificent game, and I was like, I don't know.
He didn't have a magnificent game, but we'll get on to Harvey Elliott in a bit, even though we'll talk about his injury more so than his actual, more so than the game that played. But I feel like he had a steady game. I feel like with centre mids, especially, it's very hard for you to have a quote-unquote magnificent game without getting an assist or a goal. Because we can clearly see with Thiago, he's basically been doing what he's been doing all, basically, I would say for the last, 10 games, last 10 games of the Premier League that he's played from this season and last season. But everyone will wax lyrical about his performance because he got an assist when he's been basically doing this basically since maybe, what, March, April, since he's come back from his injury and picked up the pace. I'm going to come on to you, Ellis, because we haven't heard from you yet. And you was on the main pod of Touchline, and you gave your thoughts a bit. But what was your thoughts on the lineup when it came out? And we did see Klopp talk about possibly giving Robbo a rest. I don't know if that was a bit of a pump fake from him. We could have saw Tsimikas in the side. And what was your initial thoughts on the lineup, and also seeing Harvey Elliott along with these two guys?
I think I kind of liked the lineup because I thought it was a bit balanced. I didn't really mind because we had Thiago in there. Elliott deserved it. I thought Hendo would play. I was kind of surprised that Elliott played. I thought Hendo would come in and just offer a bit more stability. But in the game, it showed why we played it, because we was offered so much space in that midfield. At times, it looked like it was just us in the midfield. not too sure what these were on, but yeah, that's their business, isn't it? But yeah, we were just running rings around them. So it made sense because Elliot is an incisive passer. He likes to get the ball, he likes to dribble a bit and move into space. So yeah, I kind of like the the lineup is what I expected, maybe minus Elliot. In regards to Elliot, I thought again he had a steady game. We got to 10 minutes into the second half and we lost a bit of control, even though at that time it was still 11-11, so we lost a bit of control. And that, I think it wasn't anything to do with Elliot's game. I just think fatigue started to kick in for him. Just being a young boy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's only 18, so like running up and down against men, you can tire out a bit. So I thought, yeah, bring on Hendo just to shore it up a bit and just keep our foot on the ball. But apart from that, yeah, he wasn't out of this world, but he wasn't bad. He was steady, and that's what we want from him. You know what I'm saying? We just want some steady games for him. But yeah, you can see his talent. A couple times he took a couple shots. He does the right thing at the right time, which is what you want from a young player.
Yeah.
But overall, I wasn't really too fussed with the starting lineup. It was all right. It was calm. And it showed in the game.
Yeah. It definitely did show in the game. So now we're just going to move on to how we performed. Peter, you can attest to this. I'm going to come to you next. I personally feel like Leeds played into our hands a lot. They do this thing where, I don't want to say this because it might sound harsh, but they forget who they are sometimes. They want to, which is, I respect it because Bielsa is do or die. It's like, if we're going to play none of this low block stuff because you're one of the best teams in the league and the best teams in the world. We're going to play our game. And last year, it kind of worked out well for them in terms, because we gave them a lucky draw. Because we wasn't able to finish our dinner and we had so many chances. But this season, we saw that we had too many chances and the score ended up being a 3-0 whitewash. So, Peter, I'm just going to come to you. How do you think we performed against Bielsa and his Leeds boys? And, do you have anyone that stood out to you in particular?
I think Bielsa, yeah. I think you'll pronounce it Bielsa.
Bielsa. Bielsa.
But I think we played well. The way Bielsa plays is that he plays the man-to-man system, and it's everyone. You have to win your duels. You go up against your man. You have to win your battles. But I think it's just suicide when you're playing against a top six team. To me, I think that's complete suicide because, like, they're a big team and they've got more money than you. They've got more resources than you, so they're gonna have better players than you. And essentially, you're asking these players who haven't got the same ability as these big teams, as these other players, to go toe-to-toe with them, to match them. And I just think that's insane because the big teams, they're going to have better players than you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why would you do that? The best way to beat a big team is to work as a team, work as a unit, try and soak up pressure, maybe hit them on a break or, you know what I'm saying, take your chances. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it's complete suicide because... And I see why Klopp started Thiago and Elliot, because obviously when you're playing against a man-to-man system, you want your players to kind of beat their man. And then once they beat their man, there's space. There's a load of space, you know what I'm saying? Because you're going man-to-man. So obviously when Elliot gets the ball, he can beat a man and then pick a pass. When Thiago gets the ball, he can beat a man, pick a pass. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's how it played out. I think Leeds, they kind of started off well. I remember the chance that they had. Rafinha does well. Gives it back to Rodrigo, and then but he shoots it straight at Alisson. And then after the first initial where the crowd was rocking, Ellen Road was, you know what I'm saying, it was lively. We came into the game, grew into the game quite a lot, and we started playing well. Standouts for me in terms of performances, I would say obviously, so that right hand side, Salah and Trent, I think they were given that junior Firpo a horrible, horrible day.
Oh my god, Barcelona.
On Barcelona, yeah. They keep tricking y'all with these fullbacks. They keep tricking y'all with these fullbacks. Just because they're fast doesn't mean they're good. So that's Semedo, Firpo, and that Emerson guy. And I ain't seen much of the Emerson guy, but I'm just saying, be careful.
You know what it is? I was about to say, did that Emerson that come from Barca as well? Because Zaha was cooking him, bro.
That's what I was saying. Be careful.
I'm not gonna lie, all of these like melanated guys that are coming from Spain, I gotta be honest, I can't lie. I don't know what's going on at Barcelona. And the thing is, Barcelona making good money.
Too much sangria still.
They're getting good fees for them. Good fees, bro.
Too much paella, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on over there.
I think in the La Liga, obviously, their PMP looks mad, innit? So when they play for these small sides, their PMP looks mad, but they can't actually defend. So again, they come easily.
Not even crazy about that statement. They don't look mad in Barcelona or wherever they play. They look shit as well, bruv. Like, you just don't watch them enough. Like, when every time I watch them, they're just this is a bit flashy and techie. Like, every time I saw,
When I watched Emerson in La Liga, he was looking decent, innit? He was looking all right. So that's what I'm saying from him. But obviously, it's a different thing coming to the Premier League. A different thing. But yeah, anyway, he was getting cooked by Salah. Salah was giving him a horrible, horrible day. He was coming to his left foot. Trent was coming inside. That triangle was working him. So yeah, I think they looked good. Thiago, it was quite a steady performance for him. Like, just a steady, nice, like, obviously, when it comes to Thiago, people expect, like, the mad thing, you know what I'm saying? The step back, the, what's called, step overs. Like, it was just a steady one. He kept the ball well. What impressed me as well is how he coped with the kind of physicality and the rigors of Leeds' game. So when they were pressing him, he was able to just be strong, beat the press, nick the ball, break up play. I think that quite impressed me about Thiago's performance.
I'll be honest with you. Thiago had the whole midfield to have a jolly up, because Leeds, they have like this weirdest disconnect where their goalkeeper and defence is pretty good, to be fair. It's not bad. And then their midfield is just complete championship. And apart from Calvin Phillips.
But there is no midfield though, Julian. It's only Phillips in there.
Yeah, they're literally. So,
so there is no midfield.
So I don't, like, Thiago had a whole jolly up, because no one was going to press him apart from Calvin Phillips. And he's just a man on the island whenever he gets a counterattack. No one was going to press Thiago. Thiago had all the time. He even does some things. I even saw him dribble. I hardly see him dribble. Like when he's at Liverpool, he's always get the ball, keep it moving. Man was dribbling about, looking up, finding passes. Like, he's made it so easy for him. And credit to him, because I felt like his game wasn't steady. I felt like he had a very good game. Got the assist, of course. But away from that, he had a very, very comfortable game. So I'm going to come to you next, Marco. We were talking about, we were going to get into standouts before. You mentioned Harvey Elliott. Who else stood out for you and who else impressed you in this game?
Matip. I feel like Matip was very progressive on the ball. Even for Salah's, so the standout moment for Matip was Salah's goal, innit? He steps forward, takes the ball past two men. I felt like he messed up the pass. So, like, it went to Salah, bounced back to him, and I thought, oh, yeah, Salah's just in there. Like, fed it through to Salah. And he waits, takes his time, because Matip is Matip, innit? Like, he's going to be patient. He's not going to be rushed on the ball. Slides it out to Trent, and that's great movement from Salah, innit? I feel like Alisson was confident. I don't think it was an amazing game, but he filled me with confidence every single time they were in and around the box. But mainly Matip is the other standout for me still.
Okay.
All around, I feel like it was a great game from everyone in it. We purred, like, we created chances for fun. Apparently, Jota even had a bad game. Jota did have a bad game to me. But he created six chances, apparently.
I think that's harsh.
It was a so-so game, innit? Like,
you know what, yeah? If I was to be consistent, there's two spectrums of being a striker. There's Bobby and there's Jota. And I don't know how we managed to get the two extremes, but here we are. And with Bobby, it's like, you can link up. And it's nice doing all the passing and shin kicking in midfield and stuff like that. But where are the goals?
What's shin kicking, bro?
Now, you know when he does that thing where he tackles him midfield and that he's starting
when he presses.
Yeah, when he starts to press. So there's him. And then there's Jota, who's literally the definition of, I got my goal, I did what I can do. If that man don't want to perform, that's it. And when he doesn't get a goal, you can kind of look at his performances and be like, ooh. You know, but I personally felt like he played well. He didn't have many chances to get a goal.
He should have had two assists as well, guys. Mane should have had Yeah, Mane should have scored.
No, 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 no. I think Jota should have had two assists, but Mane's ones are clearer. For me,
perfect segue.
I'm going to defend Mane for that one. Innit? Jota's pass was slightly behind him, and he was literally fine. Pass it across the line, brother.
Nah, get it, but it's still money, man. It's still
money.
One of them was the other one for me. It was a bad Jota pass, innit? So the first one, I don't think that was a bad pass. I think either Mane should time his run slightly better, so he's coming onto the ball. But because he's Mane, I expect that to go in. Do you know what I mean? Maybe because I'm holding him to that standard, innit? But it's Mane, fam. I get that,
but don't forget he's already beat the defender, innit? So he's beat. He's gone forward, then he's come back. So he's beat the defender. So all you're telling him to do, slowly, just pass it across the thing. But same time,
the goalkeeper's there, innit? If he does it a bit too slow, the goalkeeper gets a bit more purchase on it, innit?
It's true, but then you
either have to stand it up or you have to slap it in, and he went for slap it in, innit? I personally, I don't know what I'd have done. I'm not a good enough baller to have that intelligence, isn't it? Like, I'm slapping it across and whatever happens, isn't it?
I definitely feel like Joe did the right thing. It's just the execution for it was...
Yeah, maybe.
But moving on now, because we'll go to this, actually. This is a perfect segue. So Mane, he had a very controversial game. One that divided...
I wouldn't say it was, because it was one that divided
the fan base in terms of how he rated it. So a lot of people were mentioning Mane and his finishing, including myself, and there were shouts of he's finished, he's this, his legs are gone, this, that. But there were also other people that saw the different side of the spectrum and said Mane was actually very positive in the game. And to be fair, looking back, I must admit he was getting involved in play, getting onto the ball. He was actually quite aggressive in terms of taking people on, from what I saw. But there was just that extra final finish. So I'm going to let you go first, Marco. And what do you think about that? So do you feel like there was two sides to Mane's game, especially with Leeds? Or do you just feel like people are being unnecessarily harsh?
No, I feel like he got lucky with playing Leeds, innit? So going on to Peter's point, about one-on-one, and the way Leeds defend and having to beat a man. Mane, even when he's playing badly, is still such an athletic beast that if I remember correctly, he came back from AFCON against Norwich, he had like a week break, came on for 15, 20 minutes and terrorised people. Like, that's the type of Mane that man expects, innit? Mane athletically is absolutely clear, innit? So when you're playing a team that defends one-on-one, most of the time, you massacre your man. Like, when you're that stronger than them, that faster than them, there was one instance where he bodied Calvin Phillips early in the game. And early in the game, he showed me glimpses of, you know what, this might be Mane of old, innit? Like, he's coming back to that type of level, innit? And then the wastefulness started to creep in. Then let me not go too harsh on the Jota chance, because we've discussed that, innit? But then there was a chance where I think Salah passed it back to him. He slaps it, but he slaps it wide. And it's not a bad shot. It's not a bad decision, in my opinion. But Mane of old is a bit more decisive with that. He either bursts into the box or makes the right pass. Then for me, the thing that typified that performance was he beat a couple men. In fact, no, let me go slightly before that, innit? He nutmegs somebody and he takes a bit too long to shoot and he gets clattered on the edge of the box. And then I think after that, he beats a couple men, passes it to Jota. Jota does a reverse ball to him. He's running through on goal. And you're thinking, yes, Mane, like, wrap it into the corner. And I don't know what he does. Like, he puts it on his right foot. Salah's outside of him, innit? So you either make the right pass to Salah, and Salah definitely scores because he's 1-1 in front of goal, or let's say 80% scores. He's 1-1 in front of goal. It's the goalkeeper to beat. And you know Salah's hungry this year, innit? Like, Ronaldo's just come to the league. Lukaku's just come to the league. Salah's trying to show he's still a big youth. Do you know what I mean? He wants that golden boot more than anything this year. So you either pass it to Salah, who's going to score, or you score yourself. And he scuffs the ball. Like, to me, that wasn't a... He got pushed in that, but make the pass, make the decision very quickly, innit? And Salah, say Mane, seems like he's lost that speed of thought, and that's where he's going wrong, innit? His deflect ability is still kind of there. His execution has dropped off a little bit, but you expect that with age. But his speed of thought and the speed of decisions has dropped so much that he looks like Jeremy Doku playing in Sadio Mane's body. He looks like he's a Rennes young boy that we just got out of League Two. Shout out Peter for that one. That he doesn't even know how it's like he's lost all the coaching. He's been coached at Liverpool at such a high level. How can you lose all of that intelligence overnight?
Yeah, you mentioned the point of his thinking, a speed of thought. And I definitely feel like that's one thing that Mane, especially since he came, was very lauded for. This guy was literally bang, bang, I'm doing this. Bang, bang, I'm doing this. Bang, bang, quick 1-2, inside step, I'm doing this. But now it definitely feels like he's thinking a lot more. And I definitely feel like it's a confidence thing where, you know, he's probably seen a lot of the criticism that he's been getting and probably even noticed how he's been kind of underperforming over the last 18 or so months. So I'm just going to come to you, Melis.
Let me just go back on a point. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries.
So let's throw it back to Mane's debut goal in it against Arsenal. I know you might remember that on the right. He picks up the ball and he just says, you know what? I'm going to kill whoever is in front of me. Like, I think it was Chambers. Tore him inside and out. Took it took it in his left foot, slapped it top corner. And then you see Mane, he got his goal. But for me, he was lucky to get his goal. It was a great finish. Oxlade-Chamberlain was right behind him with an easier shot on goal. If he missed that, I was going to slander him. Like, I was going to be on his neck. And I don't know what happened, but the inquest continues, innit?
Yeah. And we'll move the inquest over to Ellis. So what do you think? What do you think it is for Mane? Do you think it's a confidence thing? Or do you feel like he's lost that speed of thought that he used to have, especially when he joined Liverpool, that incisiveness?
No, because I don't think it's that. Because outside of the box, he's very sharp. If you see the link up for that chance he had with Jota, that Marco was talking about, like the first touch into Jota, he's gone back and he's got it again. But I think he's just overthinking it because he's had the season, he's had last season. So now he's just overthinking it when he gets into the box. And well, I do think you're right, that sharpness that he's had, that we know him for, where he's just letting off shots without thinking about it. Now he's thinking about it a bit more, which is a bit annoying because, like, I've seen a few numbers, like I was saying on the main pod, everything's usually the same, everything's consistent. The only thing that's not consistent is the amount of goals. So it seems that now, because we've had a poor season.
What, Ellis? Ellis, did you find the dribbles completed one?
Yeah, I found the dribbles completed. No, but like, all jokes aside, it was the same. It's all the same. Like, from the last 3-4 seasons, like him and Bobby. I think now he's like he's got the kind of the Bobby curse, because again, Bobby's the type of person where everything outside the box is calm. Coming to score goals now, that's where he's having a problem. So I'm not too sure what's going on there. I don't know if they're overthinking it. I don't know what kind of shooting drills they're doing. I'm not too sure, but that's just where the problem lies. So hopefully he can snap out of it. Maybe, because the way he took his goal, that's the money we know, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? One touch out of his body, then bang.
Literally, classic money goal. Literally.
That's
like
exactly what I'm saying. It's literally, that's how he scores. Like, whatever goal you see, it's just one touch, bang. The two chances he's had one where he's on his right foot, then he thinks to go on his left foot. Not too sure why. The one where
he knocked it wide. Like, he's already got somebody in the box. And then he takes it on his left foot, goes back on his right foot.
Yeah, then he comes back on his right foot again and he uses it. So I'm not too sure why he's done that. Then the one you're talking about where, what's his name, got Calvin Phillips got back at him. Don't know why he's taking so long, bro. Just wrap your foot around that and slot it. Let's keep it moving. So hopefully now he's scored that. And to be fair, he's still got 2 goals this season. The first 4 games. You know what I'm saying? Which is money numbers. That's 1 in 2. And so it's funny because, I don't know, what the level that we hold him to, like, we hold him up there with Salah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we hold him as good as Salah. But because Salah just keeps on slapping and he's not slapping, so it's making him look a bit funny. But it doesn't, it's not affecting his whole overall game. I feel that his game is still good because he's still doing what we need him to do. It's just when it comes to the box and scoring, it's looking like a myth, man. But hopefully we wake up.
He's looking a bit So just to go on to your point about he scored two goals, yeah. Don't you think that's because we're creating so many chances? So looking at that graphic that was on Monday Night Football, Trent has created 20 big chances, I believe it is.
Already?
Yeah, 20. Well, maybe not big chances, maybe 20 chances, isn't it?
Already, though? Fucking hell. That's a lot still.
Five chances. That's a lot. And then you know what? Yeah, the next best two are 7 off of him, and the next best two are Grealish and Salah. So let's say between Salah and Trent, going back to what I said about Elliot playing so well and allowing them not to flourish, their man have created 33 chances by themselves. Like, if you get money on the end of, let's say, half of those chances, he's supposed to back two. Like,
yeah, but you know what, I thought
at the end of 33 of them chances, he say 15 of them chances, he might back two still. Like, he might get a couple goals there.
Nah, so you know, man. but you know what, Fools are not as like, they score, but they're not like, they're not Haaland clinical in it. They're still always need a couple chances, you know what I'm saying? They still miss a fair few chances, but there's rarely a striker who's mad clinical apart from like, yeah, Haaland and Messi and that, but they still need I just think it's overthinking. You just when you're at that level, obviously we're not at that level, but when you're at that level, you need to just do what your instinct tells you to do, which is
I'm not better when he just does it instead of having the time. Yeah. I remember remember the Everton game, yeah, where I think it was the 5-2 game. He takes it on his left foot instead of taking it on his right foot because he just doesn't think.
You know what I'm saying? That's how he is. But when he starts to thinking, starts to dribble here, dribble there, he loses his thing, fam. Just instinct, bang it. Let's keep it moving, man.
Sorry to continue on Mane. Last point from me anyway. But one thing that's really annoying me about him at the moment, and I guess not annoying me, but it's shown a change in mentality. And I remember when Salah first came to the club and he felt pushed out because he was the main man at the time, innit? And he'll be missing chances. There'll be no smiling. Like, you see Skengman Mane. Like, there's none of this chuckling because he skied it over the bar or he missed the chance. And I see
you know, like when an auntie runs for a bus and she misses it.
She misses it.
That's for money. What the?
That's for money. Like,
that's
what I'm
saying.
That's money. Nah, man. That's what it is. Like, give me Skengman money. Give me the money that wants the bad goals, that wants to show that he's better than Salah. Like, I remember people trying to spout off that competition. And I think competition is healthy sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes you need your players to want to have a shootout with each other. But when one person just accepts, you know what, I'm not that guy no more, then the drop-off starts. And maybe that's what's happening, isn't it? Because I don't want to accept that he's having an Alexis Sanchez-type drop-off where he's just never going to come back, because you see so many facets of his game where he's still at such a high level.
Good. Yeah, he's still good.
You see so many facets.
Can I make a point, Marco?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so what if guys were just like, we might just be seeing the decline of Mane, like, and it's not like the end of the world, you know what I'm saying? Like, we might just be seeing a guy who got bloody top goal scorer in the Premier League, Golden Boot, 22 goals a season, to a guy who now gets 13, 14 goals in the league now. You know what I'm saying? We might just be seeing a decline of a great, great player, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think it's a harsh decline, like you're saying, Marco. It might seem it in open play. It's because in open play he doesn't seem as sharp and as decisive and just such like a nuisance as he was a couple seasons ago. But like the game, so the Leeds game, you think their right back had a torrid time for Mane. He couldn't track Mane. Mane was on the right, Mane was on the left. Like, you have to look at objectively, yeah. Just in a positive, if you saw Mane for the first time against Leeds, you would have said, who's that brother? Like, he's a nuisance. Who is that guy? Like, you would have said, who's that guy? With a little bit of, like, coaching, he'd be, like, one of the best players in the world. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what he looks like now. It's mad because, like you said, I feel like he just doesn't look as sharp and as like the player that we know. We're holding him to such a high standard, and that's just how it is because of the levels he's reached. But you might just be seeing a steady decline of the player of that we love, you know what I'm saying? So I think what it might be is that, like, because we didn't get such a forward in the summer, it might be like, what's the word? It might be harder for us to take, you know what I'm saying? Because he has to play every game and he doesn't get a he won't get a rest as we needed him to. But yeah, like, I think I'm just accepting the fact that he might not be the same player he was. You know what I'm saying, a couple of years ago, but he's still a good player to me. So,
okay, let me ask a question quickly. Yeah,
go on, Ellis. Hold on, Michael.
Go on, Ellis.
Yeah, so yeah, even if he's getting 13, 14 goals a season, bro, that's still good,
bro. I'll be honest, that's how much I even expected Salah to come in with. Like, I'm being a lie. The fact that that was light for me.
That's wicked though, fam. When these men are getting like I was just looking at Mane's record now. He's got like 22 goals, no penalties, 18 goals, no penalties. Last season, got 11 goals. I'm looking at Sanchez's performances.
Before he went from like seven. Two.
Yeah, like 7-2, and he's like 28. So, fam, if man's still getting 11, I will like, rah, I'm... Right. If this is the decline, I'm good with it, fam.
If that's the decline, I need more of that. Anyway, from one declining winger to one, and I forgot to actually mention this in the agenda, to one winger that has reached greatness and will have his name in the rafters, the Premier League rafters forever, and that is one Mohamed Salah.
Reaching
100 Premier League goals in 4 seasons. Now, I want us to make this quick, but I'm just going to give a quick shout out to Salah. Can't lie to you, when you first came, I had a big, big headache. The same with Mane. I didn't know why I was buying this guy from Chelsea that you know that was washed at Chelsea. But my God, these last 4 seasons. But
not a Julian meltdown. Not a Julian meltdown.
No. It wasn't even a meltdown. It was one of the ones that was like,
where have I seen that before?
Yeah, I was like, bro, like, Salah, are you sure? But no, I can't lie though. Mane was the one where I was very, very like, nah, what the fuck is this? But after seeing Mane, I was more, you know what? I'll give this Salah geezer a chance. I don't know what he's about. I've seen the numbers. It looked decent. But, you know, I mean, fuck all of that, though. 4 seasons, we're here. 100 Premier League club. 4 seasons later with what? 32 games? No, sorry. 34 games to go. Talk to me, boys. What are we saying? Salah, 100 Premier League, 100 Premier League club. What are we saying?
I'm so happy for the boy, man. Well, the man. Let's not even call him a boy. The man, man. The Egyptian king. I'm so happy for him, man. When he first came in, I was expecting Mane to do more dirt than him. Still, like, I had a favoritism towards Mane. But first season comes in, he absolutely tears the league apart. Like, nobody could have told me they expected Salah to come in and do what he did. He literally revolutionized the wing forward. Like, you come in and there are certain people that just change the whole face of a role, and Salah literally changed the scope of what people look for in a wing at that time in the Prem, because he just was a killer. Like, he goes for a goal and you expect him to bag. For somebody that's playing right wing to have 100 Premier League goals in 162
games. I'm gonna make that the pod title, 100 and 162.
But yeah, to have 162 games to score 100 goals, yeah, is amazing. And 2 of those games were at Chelsea, where I don't think he bagged for Chelsea. So technically, yeah, 160 games for Liverpool, 100 goals, isn't it?
No, he bagged for Chelsea. He did.
Yeah, he scored four. My bad, my stats are off still. Ellis isn't the only one still off. Sometimes our stats are a bit hingy. Feel like that. Shout out to Mandy for correcting us in that. But yeah, like, to have 100 goals in 4 seasons, yeah, that's averaging 25 goals a season. That, to me, that is nuts. I don't remember the last time somebody got over 25 goals a season in the Prem. I think it's about 4 years ago, and I think it was him and Kane together.
It was, yeah.
That's madness to me. Come in first season, break the Prem record. Right now, yeah, shout out Sam the Hockage as well, innit? The whole Kage, you know. Why am I saying Hockage like Lewis? But Sam the whole Kage. He said something that I really liked the sound of, innit? I don't know if I completely agree. It needs to be actualized a bit more, but he said he feels like this is the best iteration of Salah at the moment. The fact that his link-up play is at such a high level and he's still scoring at a high clip. Salah's created 13 chances. How many goals has he got this season? 4 or 3?
I think 3 because he missed out.
He's got 3 goals.
3 goals, created 13 chances. And a lot of his chances actually should have been slotted. A lot of his chances are where he's putting on a plate for someone. It's like, go bag. Go get your goal. And they're fucking up. This Salah is the Salah that could possibly get a 20-10, 20-15 season, depending on people around him. But he looks so good, man. And it doesn't look like the drop-off's coming. If the next iteration is for him to move as a 9 and become that focal point of the attack, I feel like he'll do amazing. That Cristiano Ronaldo-type move of going from a winger to a forward. I think it's there for him, innit? And I think he's got so much longevity. I think Ellis was saying it on the pod that Cristiano Ronaldo is the blueprint, innit? That mindset, that athletic ability. Salah seems like he's cut from that cloth, innit? Obviously, not the same ilk. Ronaldo is Ronaldo. Messi and Ronaldo are cleared. So let's not even, do that in terms of people trying to create narratives about what we're saying. Them two are the benchmark. And Salah probably is just the tier underneath them, innit?
No, he's not even just probably. He is. You've got to... Let's be real, man. 4 seasons now, we've got to start putting Salah on certain levels. And in my opinion, he's on the same level as Mbappe, as the Neymars, especially of the last 4, where he's been so undeniably active. And I'm going to pass this on to Ellis because he's been so undeniably active. I want to actually know when Salah first came in that first season, 17-18, when did you realise that we have an absolute gunman on our hands that is going to score consistently?
But when he scored about 18 by December, I thought, what is this? Like, he even scored 5 against Watford. I thought, yep, all right, whatever. I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know what I was watching, fam. He came in. We ain't seen nothing like that since Suarez. You know what I'm saying? Man, just bagging, week in, week out. From every week, you expect Salah to score, and he just comes and does it, fam. Yeah, man, respect to him, fam. He's just an animal. He's someone that just keeps on going. Like we said against Leeds, the right back, fam. Is it left back?
Left back.
Yeah, the left back. Fam, he was tired.
He was pissed.
Bro, it's just Salah just kept on coming. He just kept on going at him, bro. It was what's going on there? So, yeah, man, that just shows you the type of person. He's not a flashy step-over guy. He's just a relentless forward who's just trying to get as much goals as possible.
I'm happy he stopped all of that, by the way. I've noticed over the last couple of months, he stopped the whole ISO thing. He's not trying to take man on anymore. He's just straight. Yeah, just kick and run.
No Conway, fam.
Yeah, just kick and run.
For me personally, I like that, innit? Fam, do your 1-2s and just try and get in a box as quick as possible and just let off your shot. Because that's what we need. Because he's our number one striker or number one forward in the club. Yeah, man. So since he's coming, but I like it because it's someone that we know we're going to get at least 20 goals from him this season.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We know, banker, he's going to get at least 20. Even if he stumbles to it, he's going to get... we haven't had a striker since the likes of Fowler to get 4 20 goal seasons. You know what I'm saying? Even Owen didn't do that. Suarez got 2. Sturridge got 1. Obviously, he was blighted by injury. And another thing with Salah, touchwood, is that he's seldom injured, fam. So, after himself well. You know what I'm saying? All the reports we hear, he's dedicated in training. He doesn't stop. He just wants to be the best. And when you have someone like that in your team, man, it helps you a lot. You know what I'm saying? When you have someone that just wants to be the best because it pushes the bar high. And what we expect from our forwards is what we see in Salah. So we may get a decent forward who's doing decent somewhere else. But when you come Liverpool, fam, you have to match what Salah's doing. And if you don't, boy, you've got to have to sit on the bench, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, big up Salah, man.
Yeah, man. We can even. I was gonna ask Peter. We can even see by Salah's relentlessness to always be the best, to always want that golden boot, even if it's to the detriment of his team. And I'm thinking, like, I love that. I respect it. Like, if you're a shooter, you're a shooter. So, Peter, I'm just gonna come over to you and ask, where now Salah's reached 100. Where do you actually see him ending his Premier League career on? Like, do you see him ending it on what type of goal? Do you see him reaching 200? Do you see him reaching 100, 150, 160, 170, possibly breaking the foreign record that Aguero has set? What do you think?
So obviously this obviously quite dependent on whether Salah gets a new contract or not. Which I'm praying, obviously, that we have to give him a new contract because he deserves. God knows he deserves everything he's asking for and more. You know what I'm saying? This guy. Yeah. He scored so many goals for us. Like these guys, I can't really say much more of what they've done. So, I think I would say he probably ends it on 160, I would say. Around about 160, 170 mark. So, I'll give him probably another like 3 seasons with us. And hopefully, give him a new contract, number 3 seasons. And then averaging out what he gets. So, he normally gets around 25 a season. Like you said. So, yeah, I'd probably say 160. 3 more seasons of him being as he is. He probably goes up front and we sign more forwards that can play around him and build around him. Because, like, I think one thing we actually probably don't do enough is probably, like, get him in a box and get him touches in a box. Because, like, this guy, he's our most clinical forward at the club. He's the most clinical guy in the club. So, touches... People don't realize touches in a box equals goals. You know what I'm saying? So the guy who gets the most touches in a box will score the most because, again, he's going to lick off shots. He doesn't want to dribble. He doesn't want to go past, man. He just wants to lick off shots. So if he can get Salah into the box more, he'll get more goals. You know what I'm saying? And I actually like his back to his game when he holds it up and stuff like that. I think he's very strong. I think he can do it. So, yeah.
Do you actually think that's by design, though? Do you actually think it's by design that we don't want Salah having too many touches inside the box? Outside the box, this could be perfectly fine, but especially in the last couple of months.
It's just a hard thing to do because everyone knows he's the man. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's trying to stop him. So when they're trying to stop someone, when like people are double up on him, teams have specific plans to stop him, it's hard to get the guy that touches in the box. You know what I'm saying? It's like, obviously, like Ronaldo going to Man United. Who's going to let Ronaldo get touches in the box? You know what I'm saying? No one's going to let Ronaldo get touches in the box because that's goals. You know what I'm saying? So people stop it. But if we can find a way to get more touches in the box, we'll get more goals. So hopefully that might come if he goes down the middle. But I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, we got an Egyptian king in our hands, man. Well, I want to ask you a question, Julian, though.
Mm-hmm.
If that's cool. Do you think Salah got his flowers? His proper justy flowers?
I swear, I know why you're asking this question because of the touchline I can't. About
yeah, but I want to hear Julian's opinion. Obviously, I know what you man's opinion, but I want to hear Julian's opinion.
You know what? Yeah, as much as Twitter and people like to make out that they don't, he does. He does. Like, let's be real. In the real footballing world, maybe not the level of being getting the Ballon d'Or or getting an individual accolade. And I feel like, to be fair, the years that he did lose out on these awards, he didn't deserve them. Maybe the first season he had the best shout at a Ballon d'Or or a UEFA Player of the Year. But I definitely feel like there's no denying Salah gets his flowers, man. Like, there might be a couple of shit agendas here and there, comparing him to Mahrez, comparing him to this guy, comparing him to this guy. But let's be real, man. Like, it's the third season now. We've seen what he's about. I don't think he's been any less than top 2 goal scorers in every season that he's played in so far at Liverpool. And let's be real, man. Like, he gets his flowers. A lot of people just try to run shit jokes about, you know, the streets. He doesn't have the streets. He can have the stats. But Salah's levels, man. He's the pundit. You can see, by the way, the pundits talk about him. Even the way Gary Neville was just giving him neck. Like, literally during the whole Leeds game. So, yeah, man. Like, in the real football world,
yeah,
he gets a foul. But on the time, man, probably not.
I think you're right. I think one thing, specifically Marco, I think we have to kind of realise that Twitter world and all the people on Twitter, they're not real people. They're not the real world. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know what I'm saying?
I'm talking about Twitter world. I'm talking about someone.
In the real football world, I think he does get his due justice, man.
Yeah, I think
rival fans are not governing bodies, they're not, you know what I'm saying? Rival fans, yeah, of course, yeah, they're going to try and shit on your players, you know what I'm saying? That's what they're meant to do.
You literally have sneaky 15-year-olds with like 10, 15,000 follower accounts that will do these shitty agendas, and people talk like it's gospel. Like, you have one guy that has a picture of Martial.
as
is AV, and you're expecting to take that account seriously when they're speaking about Salah. Like, let's be serious. Like guys like that, I don't take seriously. Like, in the real footballing world, I mean, across touchline frackers, I'll find it very hard for anyone to seriously doubt Salah's abilities. So, and that's all I personally care about in it. So, yeah, man, Salah gets his flowers, but gonna have to move on, because, you know, from the highs of Salah getting his 100 Premier League club to the lows of Harvey Elliott and that nasty injury that he sustained during the game. And it's so unfortunate, because he was literally about to come off for Henderson. Like, I think it would have been the next play where the ball came out, he would have been literally off the pitch. But I wouldn't even say, you know what? I want to ask you, Ellis. The tackle was... it wasn't a nice one. I feel like the collision was very nasty. But do you feel like it was a malicious tackle from... I'm not going to pronounce his name because... Do you think it was a malicious tackle? And do you think it was a... And you also think it was a red?
I don't think it was a malicious. It was a very strong challenge. He didn't go in there with intent to dislocate Harvey's ankle. But because of the dislocation, it was a red card, because he's endangered his opponent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't it was a very strong challenge, you know what I'm saying? So it's them ones where, had he won the ball, man might, like, he might G up the fans and that. But because the challenge has now injured his opponent, so that's why the red card has come out. You know what I'm saying? So normally, again, that's a free kick. Probably a yellow card, just because Harvey's on the attack. Mm-hmm. So it'll be seen like, oh, you're trying to stop him from going. But because, like I said, he's dislocated his ankle. So you would have to send him off just because of that. But it was a flipping strong challenge, though. Another one happened with Mane. Cooper done it on Mane. Same thing. It was really strong, but they didn't even give a free kick. So they need to find like a fine line, like balancing out. It's like, where's it? I'm seeing a lot, because I was watching a Monday Night Football yesterday, and there's a lot of things whereby they're trying to let play go. It's all well and good letting play go until like four men have broken their legs, because you want to let play go. Burnley, even against Burnley, for us, they had a couple strong challenges on
Elliot as well.
Like Sean Dyche coming out saying, oh yeah, this is whatever. Like, fam, come on, man. Like, you don't...
I hate that. Sorry to interrupt, but I hate that. It's the Premier League.
Yeah, man.
That rubbish needs to die out.
Why are they dying on the line for physicality, bro? What's that? What is that?
English football, man. And it's nasty, man. It's like, nasty, all of us have played ball at some point in it, so all of us have heard the let him know you're there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it, man. Like, there's no need to try and bully the person in front of you. If you're better than them, you're better than them, fam. Like, show that you're better than them.
Certain sort, but the best of the best defenders, and from what I know, yes, they may do the odd occasional dirty tackle where they need to hold someone back, slide tackle them from behind if need be. But I've never seen a top defender get praised for injuring someone. Like, I've never seen Ramos injure someone. I've never seen Van Dijk injure someone. I've never seen Chiellini injure someone. I've never seen Varane. Even the lack of Maguire. It doesn't happen if you're a quality defender. Like, it's ridiculous. So, Mark, you just speaking on it with Harvey Elliott. Like, the way his ankle just gave way, and the way that Salah reacted straight away, the bench reacted straight away, the way Klopp looked so miffed after that, after he was coming off. It's unfortunate, man. Like, it's looking like a very... Like, Elliot came out after and said he's okay on Instagram, which is good for him. Speedy recovery. Wish him the best. But how unfortunate is it that Elliot now is going to miss a good chunk of the season from a nasty challenge where he was definitely kicking on?
Yeah, man. It's proper nasty. Shout-out news just came out today. that he's had surgery, successful surgery, and he should play sometime this season. Obviously, we haven't been given the timeline because we know the Liverpool hierarchy, man. They told us Thiago would be back in 2 weeks. He ended up missing 3 months. But fuck knows when we're going to see Harvey Elliott again. And he looked like he was someone, again, I'm going to repeat what I was basically saying, that Klopp could trust that he was going to offer some sort of incisiveness. He looks like he offered something different to our other midfielders. He had the chemistry with Salah and Trent that was going to be one of our biggest weapons this season. If you look at the passing triangles between them and the passing like lanes between them, that's where the majority of our passes happen, in it between Trent, Harvey and Salah, innit? And it looks really, really good, especially for a young player that's about to kick on. I don't know too much about injuries or medical history, so I'm not going to live and die by this, yeah? But from what I've heard, ankle injuries, especially when you mess up the ligaments, are very, very hard to come back from, innit? Because a lot of your ankle is about mobility, innit? And if your ligaments are gone and they're not restructured and built back the right way and you don't recover enough, it's quite hard, innit? Like, you can see that with someone like Cho, who's had an Achilles injury. Again, an injury around the ankle, and he hasn't quite kicked on to that level. He looks like he's getting back in bits and he's not being afforded the opportunity, maybe. But I don't know if I want to run an agenda on that. But nah, let me leave that.
Listen. All I'm going to say is, yeah, I was listening to Touchline Freckers, and you can catch that every Monday morning coming up. And Meads, a good friend of the and a long-time contributor of Touchline Freckers, Chelsea fan, I believe he is. a big supporter of Cho as well. We're running the propaganda, and I heard in it like man was on the pod saying that they needed a creative spark, and Cho played. So boy, yeah, man. I just wanted to throw that out there. In it, there's no punchline. Yeah, I'm just an arsehole. I can't lie. I'm a bastard. So I just wanted to throw that out there. In it, like yo, that Ghanaian. I better see something soon. But anyway, moving on from other fake star boys to a real star boy, Peter. Yeah, we've got to talk about Harvey Elliott, unfortunately. So how did you? What was your initial reaction to the injury? Play it back and actually see his ankle and how it looked like. What is your assessment on it?
So my assessment, I was actually on Discord with Marco. He said it beforehand, but obviously when I saw the tackle, like I just thought, oh, strong tackle, but I didn't realize the extent of it. My thing is, I always look at players' reactions, and then when I see Salah going, everyone like come on the pitch, like the physio runs on the pitch, that's when you know, okay, serious, something serious has happened, because the way Salah reacted was to show that like he needs urgent attention ASAP. And then obviously,
bro, the way Origi came on with jeans, that's when you know it was serious, bruv. Man, like, was in jeans.
Get that and out of on. Here, man. That way, if I could get on that guy, bro, what's he doing? Origi, like, bro, oh my god,
that, in jeans, like, why you there? In jeans. Not even
that jacket.
Why are you on the plane?
Cold.
No, forget the jacket, bruv. Marco, man was in jeans, bruv. Not in tracksuit buttons. Not
you know what it is? I don't even fault him. He's finessing. Rob this England, bro. That's what he's on. Obviously, it's Liverpool.
No, he's on. Man's going to. You know when you go watch? You go watch Bay Tees or you go watch Essie Dons, you're in jeans, you're going to watch the man there.
When you go to the man there, you're going to
watch you give a bit of
what are you saying? They dropped a quick WhatsApp. Who's available for Saturday? Come watch us.
I'm about to come.
I see what I'm doing.
Like, only God can help Origi, man. Only God can help him. But yeah, no, that injury, man, it looked really unfortunate because, like, my thing is that, like, obviously, I hate to use this kind of phrase, but it was like Elliott was like the new kind of spark in our team. He was basically like the new signing of our team. Like, he's something in a team where the opponents they haven't faced before. So it's like he's the kind of fresh spark that, like, opponents wouldn't know how to kind of match up that right hand side, Trent, Salah, Elliot, because it's something you haven't faced before. It's a new thing, you know what I'm saying? So with him injured, we kind of have to go back to the old same old formula. Obviously, we've got really good players, but yeah, it's a bit sad to see, man. Hope he recovers quickly.
I just want to run this Javier little, because we literally need to power through AC Milan with just this final quote or statement from me. And this has nothing to do with Javier Elliott, by the way. And I wish him a speedy recovery. And I wish him the best. But you see that Naby Keita, brother, yeah?
Now we have
one person in.
There is no need.
If this brother does not get games this season, God, I'm going to switch.
Wait, hold on. Now,
yeah, Genie's gone. Javier Elliott, unfortunately, got injured. If this brother doesn't fucking step up, even if this brother doesn't even show up, yeah.
Ellis, look at the host. Look at the host. Look at the host.
That's what I'm gonna say, yeah. This guy better show up that he can play. Because if I see Milner start one more game over him, all my life, I'm going to bang out. The first game here, I see Milner start over Naby Keita before this guy even gets on the pitch. I'm going to bang out.
Positivity, man, because that's nasty.
No, like, no. Hold on, Markov. You see the Milner thing, yeah? You think I don't even want him to play, but like it's the way Julian gets angry. Yeah? I have to just be like, yeah, no, I'm really. There's some games for him still, man. There's some games.
I'm going to bang out, bruv, because fam, this guy has the number 8 shirt. Gerrard wore this shirt last before him, and he's not starting games, brother. He's not starting games. I don't understand how you won. Genie went this summer, yeah, on a free. You were thinking, all right, cool. Yeah, like Naby Keita, yeah, you're going to be there. It's time to step up. And yeah, man's got 2 starts here. But let's be honest, bruv. He only got those 2 starts because 1, Henderson was injured. And 2, Thiago was still like a bit, you know what I mean? Like, let's be honest, like, those 2 starts were for Gazy, bruv. Now, listen, that's what I'm going to say in it. Bruv, man wants to see games now. It's getting me mad. It's actually getting me like mad frustrated, like to see man on the bench all the time. And I don't know why at this point. It's not because you're injured. It's not because you can't play. It's because, bro. Anyway, moving on in it. Tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance for somebody. So I want to end this with some positivity. And there's a chance for somebody to step up in it. Whether that be Jones, whether that be Biscuit.
It better be Naby Keita.
Step up. Do your thing.
I swear to God, fam. Anyway, moving on. Positivity. Because I think this will be very positive. AC Milan. Heritage, Champions League heritage, you know. We're not one of them bums that don't perform on a Tuesday or Wednesday or, you know, Like, we don't do Thursdays. We don't even do what them man in North London are doing and just chilling. Apparently, we're going to make touchy foxes, you know what I mean? Because certain men aren't cutting they're not cutting the criteria to be on Touchdown Fracas network still. But anyway, tomorrow we're facing AC Milan and it's going to be at Anfield. We're going to be home, which is great. Great start to the Champions League campaign. And the heritage is going to be there. Champions League nights is back. And Ellis, we haven't heard from you in a while. So I just want to know, how do you think we're going to set up tomorrow? Do you actually think Van Dijk is going to get a rest? Do you think it's time to, you know, step in for Gomez and Konate to step in? Or do you still want that momentum there? What do you think our midfield will be like? And also, what do you think our attack will be like? So, yeah, just let us know.
Yeah, I think if he was to rest anyone, it will probably be Matip.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's more prone to breaking down the touch, and he started well. So, but if he was to rest him, I think he'd probably rest him. But I don't think he's gonna rest him. I think he would play both of them, then rest Matip against Palace. So I expect the same back four. The only person who might rest is Robertson. I think Robertson might get a rest tomorrow. Yeah. I think Timothy Cash has shown that he's good enough to play. A couple of people I've spoken to, they said Milan are still decent. Even if they're still decent, I still expect us to beat them. So, but yeah, Timothy Cash didn't play. Trent looks like in the form of his life at the minute, so I don't expect him to be dropped. Midfield, Hendo's going to start. Fab will start.
It's going to be Naby.
I think it will be Naby. I don't know if Thiago will start.
But do you know, funny enough here, let me enlighten the listeners real quick. I think me and Julian have a £20 bet on Naby.
No, we do. If Naby doesn't start tomorrow, yeah.
Oh my god, to AA man.
Because you know what's gonna be even funnier, yeah? I can guarantee you this will be our midfield for tomorrow. Fabinho, Henderson, and Thiago. Yeah. And you know, honestly, there should be no reason why Kate can't start.
I agree.
But that's gonna be the midfield. And honestly, as funny as this sounds, yeah, I can honestly see Curtis Jones and Milner coming on for one of them two instead of Kate. I can genuinely see it. But sorry,
I deepen it now that Ellis is saying the lineup. I know I've lost £20.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you my bag to you. Don't worry.
All right, man.
I think Thiago will get like 60 minutes, 60, 65 minutes. Then either one of those three will come on for him. Front three, I think Minamino's back in training. I think it will be the same front three then again.
Who is that guy?
I can't lie, I'd rather have Minamino than Origi, so we have to pick our poison very, very carefully here. I think it seems like Jota's the guy to come off more time, so I believe Jota will probably start, then come off again in probably like 60 minutes. I'm not too sure if I want to see Ox come on. I'm not too sure if I want to see that, to be honest.
I forgot that guy played in the midfield, you know.
But either way, I expect us to beat Milan, even though they are decent. I expect us to be too strong for them. I think Giroud's going to start for them tomorrow because Latan's injured. Giroud likes his battles with Van Dijk. He enjoys it, to be fair. So we'll see how it gets on. But again, I expect Van Dijk to... I expect Liverpool to be comfy. I expect them to be comfy. Probably be like a 2-0 win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, honestly, I share the same sentence with you. And I'm going to come over to you, Marco, because you're a guy that's always watching the ops, you know, Op Watch Team, come back on our Patreon. And I'm taking a look at the ops right now, who are AC Milan. I'm looking at the team. We should honestly be packing these men in. We mentioned, I think we were talking about earlier today, there's Giroud, who loves a game against Van Dijk and makes it very hard for him because he's very physical. He's not fast, but when it comes to standing up the ball, he's absolutely there and can match Van Dijk for sure. But away from him, I'll let him get off, you know, call, make him offer us more insight. The defence, apart from Tomori, Ramangoli, who's might be a familiar name to you, Kajar, sorry if I'm butchering his name, and Lucas Hernandez, and they'll probably hit Ferenczi as well, five at the back.
I think it's Theo Hernandez, I think.
Theo Hernandez.
Julian, I think you're doing them this a service. I think that's a quite a good team.
I think if you just
back to front quickly, Ferenczi, Tomori, Ramagnoli, Hernandez, that's a decent, like, so what AC Milan have been doing is that they're rebuilding their team. So obviously they went through years of going backwards. They're very stagnant, kind of like a Man United kind of thing. And then now they got in a new, I think, director of football, whatever. They like they kind of changed upstairs, and then now they're going to a young team. Sorry, Ellis.
Paolo Maldini is the director of football.
Yeah, right. So and
no wonder his son's in the team, bro. I'm just looking at the team now. Man City's son up front, bro. I respect the nepotism from Paolo Maldini, but sorry, carry on.
So like you like obviously Sandro Tonali's there, then you got Kessie, you've got Brahim Diaz, Rafael Leao, Giroud, Ibrahimovic. So it's kind of like they've got like kind of old figures of Giroud, Ibrahimovic, Kajar, and they're trying to surround it with kind of young talent like your Rafael Leao's and Kessie and stuff like that. So obviously it's compared to us, we should be a better team than them. Man United also beat them last year in the knockout stage of the Europa League as well. So
they haven't added to their team. They haven't added to their team.
They've added Rebic and Giroud. It's a decent team, but we should beat them. I think the names that we probably should look out for, Theo Hernandez is a good footballer. He's a good left back.
Yeah,
yeah, and on the same side, you got Rafa Leao as well. Like, Leao is kind of a good talent, kind of quick, kind of direct. But obviously, Trent and Salah on that same side, so we should look to dominate that side. And also, Kessie.
Yeah.
Frank Kessie, box to box, eight. He can go really good on the ball. He can go forward, go back. He likes to have the ball, you know what I'm saying? So we shouldn't let him have the time on the ball to kind of dictate the game, because I think the first leg against Man United, he played really, really well. Like, he dominated the game. So, yeah, just don't let him have time on the ball. But we should be fine, really, man.
Okay. Michael, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
You know what? I haven't watched AC Milan for years, man. Like, let me know. I haven't watched Serie A since it stopped being shown on BT Sport a while ago or something like that, man. Like, I haven't watched them play there for time. So I can't even give you an in-depth upwatch, but I can give it to you from a Liverpool standpoint. And it is the first full house CL night in a long, long time, innit? And I feel like that's what's going to carry us through, innit? The crowd does a lot. And we've known this for quite some time, innit? But the crowds for an Anfield Champions League night, where they've been itching to get back into the stadium, is going to be a buzz, especially the match that is. It's Liverpool AC Milan, football heritage. Like, who was it? It was Inzaghi still talking about the fact that he wants Milan to beat us because he's still hurting.
I can't lie, Inzaghi, bruv. Like, you got it back in blood 2 years ago. Like, come two years later, like, bro. Like, you like, come on, man. Like,
no, 2 years later, you're itching. So,
yeah, like,
Mourinho, that is football heritage. Heritage. So, yeah, man, it's going to be an amazing Champions League night, man. And we're playing amazing free flowing football at the moment. So, it looks like I feel like we should win it. We might not blow them away. I feel like they have a good team, like Peter said. Leao is somebody that I've been aware of from FIFA. Not that that's ever going to be a great metric to stand up to, but he looks like a tricky winger. I believe he was at Mönchengladbach beforehand. I watched a few games of him. Florenzi, we know, is a known quantity technician. Giroud, again, I think one of Giroud's most underrated qualities is his movement. And if you watch Leeds very carefully, Bamford's movement caused Van Dijk and Matip not issues, but he was able to get in and around them and pick up the ball in spaces where, I guess, because Van Dijk's not at 100%, he's not marshalling those areas as well as he should be. So we need to be aware of Giroud. And Giroud always used to score against us, Chelsea or Arsenal. And Giroud was, whenever we played Arsenal, Giroud is who I was mostly scared of. Like, Ozil would be there. Sanchez had me a little frightened, but it was Giroud. Every single time I remember, there was a 3-3, I believe, that I think we turned it around. Ozil scored a little bounce over Mignolet, that little Ozil bounce that he did. And then it was 3-2, and I thought, yeah, you know what? We're going to go on and win this game. Then Giroud scores out of nothing. I think somebody gets to the byline, yeah, and he whips it in from the maddest of corners or the maddest of angles. Giroud is a problem for me, innit? And
remember that was 4 years ago.
What, sorry?
Remember that was 4 years ago, though.
That's a long time ago, and we've come on leaps and bounds since then, innit? But you know, Liverpool fans, we always have a bit of PTSD, man.
Even now you're talking about Giroud, I remember him in the Super Cup, and he was causing hella problems. He was slapping Van Dijk's chest all game. So
I know Mies would be happy to hear this, but that was a Super Cup that Chelsea should have won still. Like, they should have beat us still.
Ah, well, should have, could have, would have in it. He didn't. So, well, sorry, lads. If you want more than my opinion on the game, I'm not going to lie to you, boys. For the sake of the podcast, I know we have to talk about this, but I think we're going to absolutely bop these guys. I don't think they're great at all. If I'm honest, like, some of the guys that we're even talking about, like Kjaer, Ramangoli, Giroud, what's use, man? These men are in their early 30s. They're slow. I feel like we're going to deal with them pretty well. That Leao, if this was 2017 and we had Lovren at the back, I would have probably been frightened. But nah, I'm going to say something that's going to be weird. I don't think Van Dijk should actually play this game.
I don't mind that, but
I don't think you should.
I think we're going to have to. And after discussing it with Ellis here, in terms of, I think we were talking about it, and Ellis was like, he feels like Van Dijk is somebody that can do the week in, week out thing, regardless of the injury. And Matip can't play two games in a row. I don't want to bring in two new faces.
Yeah, I hear you.
It has to be one of the two. And naturally, because Matip is so good, especially he's able to look as good as Van Dijk in some games. You naturally put him there for the first CL game that we need to win.
Yeah, you know, I'll actually take that back. You know what? I'll say play Van Dijk for this first game. You know, let him feel the Anfield atmosphere on the Champions League night. But Champions League, apart from if it's Atletico or AC Milan away, and even then, I'll use that as a time to rest him. I definitely wouldn't provoke this injury, even though I do believe he's a super athlete and I feel like we've managed this injury well. I feel like he could have came back the end of last summer, but he didn't, which is smart. I feel like we've managed this injury well. I feel like Van Dijk is at maybe 80% at the moment, so we still need to bred him in, but I think we'll do well tomorrow. So I'm going to ask you guys what are your score predictions for tomorrow, just before asking you one more question before we let off. So I'm going to start with you, Peter. What do you think the score prediction score will be, and who do you think will be the goal scorers?
I would say 2-0, and I think it'll be goals from Jota and Salah. 2-0.
Okay. And Ellis?
Yeah, same. 2-0. I'm going to go outlandish. I'm going to say Van Dijk and Salah. It's not really outlandish, is it?
Oh, interesting. All right. And Marco, what do you think is going to be tomorrow?
I'm going to go over 2-0 sweep, and I'm going to go Trent and Salah.
Yeah, I'm going to go even higher than that. I'm thinking 3-4-0. I honestly, like, I don't think you understand how much I have lost so much respect for Italian clubs, and especially in this era of PMP. They're getting better at acquiring PMP, but I can see, especially Tomori, his PMP being probably his Achilles heel. He's probably going to try and do so many recovery runs that, I don't know, man. I'm just confident in it. And that's going to take me over to our whole campaign prediction. So I'm going to start with you, Marco, again. Where do you think we're going to end this this Champions League campaign, and why?
Okay, Champions League campaign. I'm happy you asked that. I didn't really want to divulge my Premier League one on the
podcast. Oh, no. There's four super teams right now. We can't
okay. compete. Let's keep it so quiet.
It's so shameless.
Yeah, man. Listen, man. Like, bare injury.
After piling the pressure on Man United, the way Julian piles the pressure on other teams.
Yes, man, 21 and 22, man. I hear it. 21 and 22 is 23, man. I hear it.
Arsenal spent over 100 M's. United got Ronaldo. City spent 100 M's on Grealish. Chelsea spent 100 M's on Lukaku. What?
We went to the fish market and got a little 35 mil chump change. Like, we just smashed a little fam.
Listen, man, it's peak. It's peak, but sorry, Marco, carry on.
Yo, I say, let's go quarters. I feel like we can do better than that. I feel like we're going to come up against a great team. There's quite a few good teams in pot two. I can't remember, but I remember the draw. That was shitting myself.
No, obviously. Loads of teams won the league that they shouldn't have, innit? So yeah, Lille won the league, Atletico won the league.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. A load of teams that should be in pot one knocked onto pot two, and I remember being shook on that Champions League draw. So I think we come up against a hard team in the round of 16. I feel like we're doing okay in the Premier League, and we prioritise the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And then we go out the following round after winning the round of 16. So, yeah, let's say quarters, maybe semis, innit?
All right, Ellis?
Semis, I said on the main podcast, I think this club, this lads, they got one more in them. So, I'm saying semis. And if you're getting to quarters with big respect to Nat Phillips and them, man, well, if you're getting quarters with them, man, come on, man.
And it was light work as well. Getting to
the yeah, I'm saying, so let's respect the life.
Pia, what about you?
Do you know why Marco's saying quarters? Because I know his Premier League prediction is out.
I can't be screaming double. Like, I have to keep it easy.
I know he's thinking we're gonna do a mad list of Premier League that we're just gonna keep it light in the quarters. Marco's a sick man. Sick man. But
too well, bro.
I say semis. I think, yeah, this team, I think Champions League always suits us well, especially under Klopp. It's a competition where if you've got firepower, you go far. And I feel like our attack, when they space in behind, our attack does well. You know what I'm saying? We don't get space in behind in Premier League. So, like, Champions League, we get space in behind. We tend to do well. Yeah, semi-finals, why not, man? And then from then, it's anyone's game.
Okay. If you want to know my prediction, actually, and this is going to surprise you as one of the most negative people in the chat, but we're going to win this shit, man. I can't lie to you. The reason why is if you look at last season and our Champions League campaign, I would honestly say the only reason we didn't win the whole thing was because we had no centre-backs. And against Real Madrid, even the second leg, we've got our fans back as well. So even in the second leg, I felt like we could have really brought the game back. If we had the fans on our back trying to push us forward to get as many goals as possible. And if we're going off last season, I can't lie to you, apart from the teams in the Prem, no one's really improved. PSG with Messi. Sorry, I forgot about that. But apart from them, and even them, they're a drip or drown club. So the jury's still out on the whole heritage with them. So we don't know. But I honestly don't see a lot of teams better than us in the Champions League. Chelsea might cause a bit of problems, but even today they just won one. I think they just beat Zenit St. Petersburg 1-0, so that might be a bit, you know, and it's hard for teams to retain it. So I think we'll win it, you know. I could be wrong. If you want to reference back to this pod and laugh and come into my mentions and say, yeah, you thought you win the Champions League, then cool. But I think we'll win it, man. And I think that's the perfect place to end it on some positivity from the most negative person in the Coppen group chat at this moment in time. I want to thank these gentlemen for being with me for the last 1 hour, 25 minutes recording, talking about the club that we love the most. If you want to catch more of us, we're on Patreon. Just subscribe from £3 a month. We've got so many shows. Peter last week, Peter and Mike dropped a new show called Bantics. Amazing. Amazing show. I was able to catch a bit of it, but then my manager called me to start work. So I'm sorry about that, Peter. I'll get back to it. There's going to be a post-match pod after the Champions League game tomorrow. We're going to have a preview pod for the Palace game and a post-match pod for the Palace game. So definitely sign up to the Patreon. There's going to be a lot more stuff than just post-match and previews. So definitely sign up. Ellis, Marco, Peter, thank you for joining me tonight. And everyone else, hope you have a great week. Up the Reds, and let's do this.
Peace.
Network.